Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. With 2014 half over now, we thought it would be a good time to take a look at gold. After a couple of years of trending lower, gold has begun stirring again. In fact, for the first 6 months of the year, gold and silver were among the top performing global financial assets, even edging out oil. There's always a full dugout of players that contribute to a market price, but in this case, the big hitter in the game during the first few months of the year was the Ukraine crisis. I estimated at the time that that was responsible for at least a $60 move up in gold prices. Now, some of that was given back, but then it was the jihadist group ISIS sweeping across a good deal of Iraq, and that moved gold higher in June once again. And that's just a glance at some of the geopolitical drivers of gold. But in addition to that, Dr. Paul, in the past 12 months, the world's top five central banks have managed to add another $1.4 trillion to their mountain of paper money.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Gold is stirring, and a lot of people who have watched this for a long time are anxiously watching this. And I think one thing that when I look at this, how I see it is that there are reasons and excuses, and I think you mentioned both of them in the introduction. The reason gold goes up is the dollar goes down. Of course, they print money, and just look at what they've done in the since 2008. They've taken a monetary base, or you know, total Federal Reserve credit from less than $1 trillion up to $4.4 trillion, and they continue to do. And I don't believe that has been discounted in price levels or in gold. But then the geopolitical thing seems to be the excuses. We know it's going to go up, but people respond emotionally and subjectively to events and what are other people going to do, and that will push the prices up. But you mentioned also that, you know, this first 6 months compared to other investments, gold hasn't done so badly. And when I saw those figures, I was sort of surprised, because all you have to do is listen to the news. Stocks are doing this and stocks are doing this, and they don't hardly even mention gold. But for those who are purely technicians and don't approach gold, you know, in a fundamentalist way, I tend to do the fundamentalist way of saying you print money and gold will go up in the long run. But the technicians are important because they price in everything instantaneously. But there are some numbers that I would think that if you are purely a technician, even not believing that gold is money, that you would get sort of excited about this. Because as we speak, gold is up today. If you look back 30 days, gold is significantly high. If you go back beginning of the year, the calendar year, it's up more than 10%. And if you go back 12 months, It's up significantly, and it's not up a couple of dollars, but you know, in some instances, up to over $100. And I would think this would be momentum anyway, that this is where it's going. But we don't have to have more money printed to make gold go up. There's already a lot of it. I've always fascinated with the markets because they don't seem to always react immediately as one might expect or anticipate, at least in long term. Because if the markets anticipate that we're going to have weakness, they say, oh, the Fed's going to print money, and then the gold price will go up. But what if they anticipated a healthy economy, which the stock market supposedly is factoring in? If you're expecting a positive economy, prices are going to go up, and gold would go up as well. But things don't work exactly that way. But fundamentally, I believe either way, gold will go up. One of the frustrations over the last couple years, and maybe even longer, those who have been investing in gold, I consider buying gold, especially gold coins, as more like insurance, not investing. I don't trade the stuff. I just sort of think that you ought to have some in case the government really gets out of control. But if you wonder, well, why gold went? It was under $300 in the year 2000, and then it went up to $1,900, and nobody made a tremendous killing in the stocks. And look at where the gold stocks are now; they're in the doldrums. And I think, and I this is just my thoughts on this, but it's almost ironic that gold shares suffered from price inflation. the price, because it costs more to mine gold and gold prices were going up, but the cost of mining even went up faster. So there was a lot of the conventional wisdom of what inflation is, and that is when the prices go up, that the prices actually were going up faster and hurt the profits of these companies. But long term, when people get really concerned and you see the price of gold soaring, then they start anticipating they'll factor into it. Well, the gold in the ground is worth something, and then you will see a major bull market in the gold shares as well. But I've been most interested in gold mainly because I do believe, in spite of what Bernanke tried to tell me, that gold is money. It's important. Has a lot to do with what freedom is all about. It has a lot to do with preventing wars from occurring. And therefore, I see it as a monetary instrument. I see it as a freedom issue. And, of course, a way that people can protect themselves from very difficult economic times. And I am convinced that we're going to have much more difficult economic times. I noticed that the Bank of International Settlements are actually starting to warn about the stock market. It reminds me about Greenspan's irrational exuberance call back in 1996. And I thought, wow, he's actually hinting that maybe there's something wrong going on here, since he had an understanding or conviction about Austrian economics. But that was in 96. Well, the bull market, just went on for 4 more years before it crashed in the year 2000. So even when the BIS and what their goal is, I don't know. Maybe they just realize they have to be on the side of common sense about 1 out of 10 or something like that. But I don't think that'll do anything. But there will be a day they're going to leave the stocks, and they're going to leave the bonds, and they're going to go to hard assets. And the most important hard assets will be the metals, and that'll be gold and silver. I saw that same story you mentioned about in this first part of the year. I was really surprised that gold and silver had done so well, because all we hear is about how wonderful the stocks are. But it's been pretty good in the numbers I just gave. That whether it's a year or this calendar year or 30 days or one day, gold seems to be doing quite well.
Well, off the radar of most people is the long-term deterioration of the dollar's international role as the world's reserve currency. But this $400 billion Russian-Chinese natural gas deal really spells the doom of the global dollar standard in a bigger way than people are talking about.
I think that's true, and but I don't think the markets have quite come around to understanding that. The dollar's a little bit weaker now, but if you look at the dollar, over the last year or so, it's been, I would consider, relatively stable. It's around 79, 80, 81 on the index. Right now, it's dipped below 80, and that may be a sign that it's going to continue to go down, and maybe it's starting to reflect what Russia's doing. See, because Russia announces this, it doesn't go into full effect, and maybe people believe they can't do it or won't do it, or we'll put enough sanctions on that we'll discipline the Russians or something like that. But no, I think you're absolutely right. I think that is a big event. And even if the dollar isn't eliminated as a reserve currency overnight, which it probably won't be, but if it just keeps gradually being used a lot less, it will hurt the dollar. And there will be a time when all the markets will get a little bit nervous about that. And it's going to be reflected by even going to other currencies, which would be rather strange. One of the protections the dollar has is the uniform agreement of the central banks to sort of prop up the dollar. And it's to their benefit to do this. But, markets are very powerful, and eventually they will change their mind about that. And there will be a lot less desire to hold dollars.
And finally, Dr. Paul, your comment about this grassroots movement to do something at the state level about declaring gold and silver coinage legal tender, something has gone on in the legislature in Oklahoma. Other states include Arizona and Utah. This is bubbling up from below to sort of compensate for the recklessness of the monetary authorities.
I think this is fascinating because, first, it says that there's more people in this country, enough to influence state legislatures, to be interested in that, more so than the people in Washington. You know, in Washington, they're controlled by all the big banks and all the establishment. At the state level, it's a little bit different. So that's a good sign. The other thing is, the Constitution is pretty explicit on giving the states instructions, you know, about what they can use for money and legal tender. And only gold and silver can be used as legal tender. So they're on pretty strong constitutional grounds. They're on good economic grounds. And as these conditions get much worse, I think we're going to see more and more of this. And to me, it'll be encouraging because when conditions deteriorate, they can't control the people opting out of the system. Consider what has happened, you know, in the drug war. The drug war was a total failure, and yet it lingered for a long time, and they punished so many people and took sick people and put them in jail until finally the people in the state said, no more, we've had enough of this. And they started changing these laws on marijuana to the point where the federal government can't enforce it anymore. So when people decide that it's time to give up on the federal government, it's very, very healthy. I think we'll see a lot more of that. And that could happen, you know, in an economic crisis. You know, if things are just slowing up and you still have to go out and buy things to survive on, you know, maybe a old-fashioned silver dollar might get you somewhere where you might have a stack of paper dollars that people no longer want. And besides, even if you have this stack of paper dollars, what do you do with it? You put it in the bank and you have negative interest rates. You have inflation eating up, any interest you would get. And yet now they're talking about negative inflation, negative interest rates by charging people to put money in the bank. Some of these things are going to add up, and more average people are going to realize there's something seriously wrong with the system. And it will add fuel to the fire of this concern that, the very, very wealthy, the insiders, the people who got bailed out, the big banks and the big corporations, they have benefited from all this. And it's going to, galvanize a lot of people against the system. So we live in interesting times, to say the least.
Indeed, we do. And thank you, Dr. Paul, for another informative conversation and an important podcast about gold and where we are 6 months into the year. And thank you for listening and telling your friends about the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Guillen.